Second Nephi, chapter 30. Nephi begins in verses 1 and 2 to talk to his brethren about the idea of being a covenant people. Again, there's always there's this worry that people start saying, well, we're the covenant people, so therefore we're chosen. And they start thinking for some reason this gives them a special status. And he says, no, it doesn't. You are not, if you do not repent and if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will be cast off. And he says, likewise, the Gentiles, if they will repent and believe in Jesus Christ, then they become the covenant people, which means that the whole idea of being a covenant people is continually dependent upon repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which are always the two elements of his church and the two elements of being righteous. And so he just wants to set that very clear again, because he sees into the future and he's seen in the past amongst all people when they get his chosen people sort of an idea. He then talks about the Book of Mormon coming forth and being taken to the American Indians. And it says that after it is taken to the American Indians, that they will become a white and delightsome people. Now, we know that in Joseph Smith's day, he spent a lot of time taking the Book of Mormon to the Indians, and so did they in our day. So therefore, we begin to immediately think that, see, the previous chapters are only talking about the days preceding the coming of the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith Day. But again, when a person receives a revelation, they see several times at once. They're carried away in a dream, and they see a lot of history, and they see this history when similar periods of history repeat themselves. They can see them all at once, and that's why when Isaiah writes, he seems to be writing about several times in history, all at the same time. Also, when the Lord talks about wickedness applies to all times, and the devil plays the same trick. And we know that more when we look here, because again, the Lord talks about doing his work, and his work is not just to take the Book of Mormon to the world, which seems to be the thrust today. It's to have his gathering and to create Zion. And again, Zion has not been established. We know it has not been established. So we seem to have a lag in time. And we see right here when the first thing it starts talking about, as soon as the word's taken out to the American Indian, that not many generations will pass away and they will be a white and delightsome people. We know that hasn't occurred yet. And not only that, it says not many generations will pass away. So maybe it is inferring that the Book of Mormon started to be taken out in 1830. But that's only 150 years ago, and in the Book of Mormon it showed that four generations was equivalent to 177 years in later on in the Book of Mormon. So what does it mean? There seems to continue to be this idea that there's a lag in time, and I know that during the time of Joseph Smith, immediately men came from all over the place to join the Mormon church, to get power and to get authority and so forth. And he was surrounded by men that wanted to do it their way. Brilliant, smart men of government like Mr. Bennett and so forth, that weren't really righteous people, and they were just looking at their own position. And these men came, and he fought these kind of men all the time, all his life. And then after Joseph Smith died, we've continued to have this same idea up until now, that men govern the church, and that they do what they, and it's been a growing idea, that men govern the church, they do what they want. And then the Lord, if the Lord doesn't like it, then they claim that the Lord would do something about it. And that has been, that's really the same thing that's described about the Pope and the Catholic Church. But no matter what, we had that continuing problem that was taught to us about all the prophets, of people wanting to mate back up with the world. And we had that throughout time, throughout the time since Joseph Smith's day. And what's interesting is here in verses 1 and 2, even the problem that caused them so many problems in Missouri is because they ran around with the haughtiness and pride of thinking that they were the chosen people there. And these are the things that mark the church all its years. And until now, we're into a situation where a greater effort is being made to become part of the world and to go along with the world's doctrine and to not be in conflict with the world. And this is not what the Lord has wanted. The Lord has constantly made it clear that His work is to gather people out of the world and to gather them to their own place. And in fact, then we see here that He begins to talk about that's what his work is, starting about verse 8. And I do want to point out a couple things that we will see again in verses, in the scripture back with when Moroni is talking, that he'll make it very clear that the real work begins after the church today has been polluted. We'll see that Jesus says that the Gentiles will reject the fullness of the gospel. And we see these things go over and over again. So the actual work really hasn't started. And secondly, who is it that's going to carry the Book of Mormon forth? Was it Joseph Smith? No, it says a spokesman for Joseph Smith would, and that spokesman has not came, and that spokesman would carry it forth, performing mighty works among the people, and it just hasn't. These other things have not came about yet, and so there is a gap between the actual time of Joseph Smith bringing the Book of Mormon and the time that the work of the Lord, the real work of the Lord, would begin. And now we see this more clearly starting in verses 8, because it says that that His work will, not the Book of Mormon, but His work will go amongst the entire world and into the restoring of His people unto the earth. And what does it mean to restore? It means give them their lands back. Restore them unto the Lord. And then when we restore their lands, it's saying that this is now, these lands will now be the Lord's land. It will be the Lord's kingdom. And that this whole idea of land being owned by men will be gone, and that the government owns the land, and all these concepts that every single government in the world and every single major government believes that the government owns the land. Even our government starts acting like it owns the forest and all the land and all the excess land, and that isn't a concept of the Lord. Never has been a concept of the Lord. Well, so He'll restore them to their own lands where they worship Him. They recognize the lands are His. And so the point is that it's a restoration. It means it's some kind of a gathering. It's like taking someone and putting them back somewhere. Well, these kind of things haven't occurred. In fact, we've had a greater and greater dispersion of everyone, of those who claim to be the Lord's people or those who believe in the Book of Mormon in amongst the others. But He goes on to say that He describes this work again more in verse 9, and he says that he will stand up for the poor and the meek, and that he will do things for their sake. And we don't see that today. We don't see the poor and the meek being given homes or anything else to set them up a kingdom. We don't see anyone working for the poor and the meek. All we see is people giving them a few handouts and having a social system in the church, just exactly like we have a social system in the government that gives a small portion to the poor, but doesn't really restore them or get them back into a good shape. So they're into a shape where they have their own land or their own homes, or they're not always worrying about where their next dollar's coming from and how they're going to eat in the future and what their situation's going to be and worrying about what the education of their children, so on and so on. They're always worrying, and that's certainly not someone standing up for the poor and the meek. And he says, while he's doing this, though, he's going to have to smite the other ones. Well, he's going to smite the earth, it says, with the rod of his mouth, and that it will slay the wicked. But we're not seeing any of the wicked being slain right now. And again, most people don't even believe in that. Oh, no, gee, that's too harsh. He isn't going to go around and start killing a lot of people. Well, this is still the sign of the Book of Mormon, that will be part of it. And then all of a sudden it says, after the Book of Mormon comes forth, now listen, after he begins his work, he says, speedily. See, the Book of Mormon came forth, and it's been generations. It's been more than 150 years, and nothing's happened, and we certainly can't call that speedily. So the actual thing that he calls his work hasn't started yet, and the reason it hasn't started yet, again, is because men want to do it their way. And when men stop wanting to do it their way and start wanting to do it the Lord's way, and it's not they do it even the Lord's way, and I say, okay, this is what we're doing, and we're trying to do it the Lord's way. It means you go out there and seek the Lord's will, and do all things then by the Spirit of the Lord. And in fact, then you'll even have greater manifestations of the Lord on the earth showing you how to do it. Well, the point is that it says that in verse 10, it then says, and then speedily cometh a great division amongst the people. So the point is, one, there's another sign a great division has not came about. And second, this is speedily after he begins his work. So his work didn't start in Joseph Smith's day. All we can say is at that time he made an attempt, but the people rejected making him their true leader. And then so therefore he's given us those several signs of his work, and then he begins to talk about the millennium, and he says as soon as it doesn't take him long after he begins his work for us to go ahead and have the millennium, which again, that's what Joseph Smith thought. He talked all the time about it. He thought he was creating Zion and then immediately we'd have the millennium. That's because he's reading here. Because no one saw this idea of a gap between the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and the Lord starting his work. No one has paid attention to that. And no one wanted to assume that. But the fact is that Scripture makes it clear that it must have occurred because the true work has not began. But let me express even now again, what is the error today? Well, the major error in thinking today is that the Lord's work is to spread the Book of Mormon. Well, the Lord certainly upholds getting the Book of Mormon out so more people can hear the Word of God, but that's man's assumption that see here, if I go take the Book of Mormon out, therefore I'm doing the work of God. No, the work of God, the Lord is when he does the work. It is his work, and we're going to see this in Jacob more clearly. It's his work. It is not man's work. And as long as man continues to act like he is the one that's doing the work, and that he is the one that's in control of the work will not the work of the Lord will not proceed. What we need to do now is turn back to the Lord and believe that he is in charge, and that each one of us follow him individually, and that we each can have a relationship with him and receive the Spirit, and that each of our leaders have got to say that all they are is they are servants who have been called to organize certain things, but they receive all their direction directly from the Lord.